Brethren, we'll use now to open Brother Mora's choice of hymn 224. We'll sing only verse 1 and 2, just verse 1 and 2 of hymn 224. Ask Brother Jim Parkinson to lead us in prayer for this next session.
Our dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy wonderful and most holy name, and we thank thee for the privilege of gathering together this weekend. Help us to apply these thoughts in our daily lives, and we would ask now for thy blessing and guidance on Brother Peter, that his thoughts may edify and encourage us to live better Christian lives as the days go by. We ask in Jesus' precious and most worthy name, amen.
Brethren, for the final session of our convention, we have Brother Peter Mora. I'm glad to have him serve us again. It's a very interesting subject. I can tell you what it's not about. It's not about me. That's the subject, Brother Peter Mora.
Thank you, Brother David. Thank you, Brother Jim, for your prayer. It's not about me. Well, if it's not about us, who is it about? Okay, of all the people, of all the humans that have ever been born, except for Jesus, who was the greatest? Okay, Jesus gives us the answer in Matthew 11:11. Matthew 11:11. Among them that are born of women, there are none greater than John the Baptist, right? But if we were to ask John the Baptist, if it was all about him, what would he tell us? Well, what does he tell us about himself compared to Jesus? He tells us in John 1:27, he's not even worthy to untie Jesus' sandals. Now, brethren, how special would Jesus have to be so that the greatest of men born of women would not even qualify to untie his sandals? But according to Jesus, is it all about himself? No. Even though he's given great power and authority, who gives it to him? The Father. Jesus says in John 6:38, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And in John 14:10, John 14:10. The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. And here's a wonderful scripture, which really does prove it's all about the Father. And it's referring to the time after the little season. 1 Corinthians 15:28. And when all things shall be subdued under Jesus, then shall he also be subject to the Father, that God may be all in all. So, is it really all about our Heavenly Father? Yes. Well, if we all agree, what more is there to talk about? Well, it turns out, even though it's not about us, we do have a role in all of this. What is it? What is our role? And brethren, the answer to this question is so important, it must be the foundation in our lives. Now, that's a strong statement, but it's so strong and so important that we're going to change the title of this discourse from "It's Not About Me" to "It's Not About Me, It's About Me Bringing Glory to God." It's not about me, it's about me bringing glory to God. Now, what does that mean, to bring glory to God? Well, if a child is a really good student in school, that brings honor to the child's parents. But if they're a bad student, well, that can bring dishonor. I remember being in China in 1987, and I saw thousands of bicycles. They were parked everywhere, and none of them were locked. No locks on any of these bicycles. Well, of course, coming from an area in the United States where bicycle theft was very commonplace, I was personally shocked to see this. So I asked the tour guide, why doesn't anyone lock their bicycles? He looked puzzled. He said, well, why should they? No one is going to steal them. After all, if they were caught stealing, that would bring shame upon their entire family. Brethren, I couldn't believe this. People were actually thinking about their family's reputation. In other words, it's not about me. It's about what I do to bring honor or dishonor to my family. And does this apply to anyone who's been called or chosen by God? Absolutely. Let's look at an Old Testament example where this happened. To start with, here's God speaking in Amos 3:2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Who's God talking about there? Israel. And if you were Israel and you heard God say that, would you possibly think it was all about you? Maybe, probably. But now for the rest of the story, we'll read what God says in Ezekiel when he steps in to save Israel from what would appear to be certain destruction by their enemies. Ezekiel 36:22. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not do this for your sakes, O Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen. So does God save Israel because it's all about them? No. He does it for his name's sake. And at that point in history, the Israelites had set such a bad example, and this was a reflection on him. just like the child in school. And just like Israel, who was a spectacle to all nations, we're told by the Apostle Paul that we are spectacles to angels and men. That's 1 Corinthians 4:9. Now, this means we either bring honor or dishonor to our Heavenly Father. Now, how about it, brethren? Do we want to bring honor? Or do we want to bring dishonor? And like it or not, we will bring one or the other. So the question is, how? How do we use the experiences we have every day to bring glory to our Heavenly Father? Well, when we first wake up each day, we need to start with the right frame of mind. What does that mean? Okay, what would be the wrong frame of mind? Well, that would be thinking, it's all about me. I'm important. I'm special. In other words, self-centered. But we want the opposite. It's not about me. In other words, humble. Well, wait a minute. Now, are we saying that we're not important or special to the Lord? Well, of course we are. But not because of anything we've done on our own. And let's prove this with scriptures. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And another one, and this is my favorite. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousness is like filthy rags, and we all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. We're not talking about a pretty dish towel that's used to wipe up spilled milk and then put in the washing machine. We're talking about paper towels used to clean up after a dog or a cat and then thrown away. Filthy rags. Now, can we imagine? Compared to the righteousness of the Father and to His Son, on our very best day of righteousness, it ranks right beside those paper towels. Sounds awful, doesn't it? And if it's true, well, how can we ever be considered special to the Lord? To answer that question, we just have to read a little further in the chapter. Let's continue with Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art the potter. We are all the work of Thy hand. What does the potter do? He molds and shapes the clay. And what does the clay do? Submits. Full submission to the potter. And taking the picture one step further, what's done to a clay pot to harden it? It's put in a hot oven. That's right, the kiln. We are His workmanship. And why is He working with us? Because of anything we did that was so special? Let's answer that question by reading Ephesians 2, starting with verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So, is it because we're so special? No. It's a gift. That means it wasn't earned. It wasn't deserved. Next verse, Ephesians 2:9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, not because of anything we did and would therefore be owed this favor. Next verse, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are created unto good works, which means we are created not because of our good works, but for the purpose of doing good works. And when we do them, that brings glory to God. By the way, what would ultimately bring more glory to God? And here are three choices. Option one, create the bride of Christ by picking 144,000 of the most faithful and highest ranking angels. Or option two, pick 144,000 of the top most loving and righteous humans that ever lived. Perhaps they devoted their entire lives to self-denial and study while living in temples and monasteries throughout the world. Or option number three, pick 144,000 from among some rough and tough fishermen. Then let's throw in some tax collectors, murderers, prostitutes, thieves. Oh, and let's not leave out farmers, lawyers, doctors, housewives, house husbands, soldiers, students, accountants, basically people who don't start out focused on the spiritual things, but are focused on the earthly things. Not that they're bad people, just that they're not the cream of the crop. And after picking them, God actually works with them, shaping, chiseling, polishing, not like a boss who works with an employee, but as a father who would work with his own child. And through that process, they're changed and crystallized, becoming perfect, merciful, and loving, just like his son. Now, brethren, which of those three groups would bring the most glory to God? Right, start with the ones who are least likely to be chosen, and that's exactly what he's doing. For a great example of that, just look at Apostle Paul. The scriptures tell us he was a persecutor, a blasphemer, and a violent aggressor. Paul even tells us in 1 Timothy 1:15, he was the chief of all sinners. Well, if he was so bad, why was he chosen? Did he have what we like to call, quote, a good heart condition? Well, in the same way our righteousness is like filthy rags, regarding the imperfect human heart, we're told in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Well, doesn't that sound encouraging? So, how are things going today? Well, I'm deceitful, desperately wicked, and on my best day, my righteousness is like filthy rags. And how are you today? So, back to Paul. If his actions were so bad, even if he acted out of ignorance, why did the Lord choose him? And Paul tells us why. He tells us in 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. And for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Okay, so Paul was chosen not because he was the best of the best, but in a way because he was the worst of the worst, the chief of all sinners. And after all, if the Lord can change Paul to become loving, merciful, and forgiving, well, the Lord can fix anybody. And doesn't that show God's wisdom and ultimately bring glory to his name? In the kingdom, if anyone on earth has doubts about being able to be rehabilitated and brought back into harmony with God, all they have to do is look at the members of the church who did not start out as the best of the best, but may have started out worse than the person who's actually having doubts. There's a common phrase that we hear in the world, well, if they can do it, so can I. Well, in the kingdom, that phrase might be changed to, well, if the Lord can fix them, I know he can fix me too. By the way, isn't it interesting to note Apostle Paul's view of himself during his personal growth as he walked in the narrow way? About 25 years after his conversion, Paul says, I'm the least of the apostles. Okay, so of all the apostles, I'm the least. Number 12. About 5 years later, he says, I'm less than the least of all the saints. Okay, so the bottom of the 144,000. But about a year later is when he says, I am, and notice he doesn't say I was, I am the chief of all sinners. The closer Paul walked with God, the more he was conscious of his corruption and wickedness in his flesh. He recognized no good thing could be found in his imperfect flesh. Now, for those of you who are following closely, you might be asking yourself, well, does this mean the Lord has called me because I'm the worst of the worst? The answer is no. That's because Paul was the worst of the worst, but hey, you might be in the top 100. And don't worry, I'm right beside you. See, brethren, trying to classify our own righteousness, it's a big mistake. We are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. And we have to keep this in mind every day, remembering it's not about me. It's about me bringing glory to God. So knowing this, how do we handle the challenges of everyday living? Well, assuming we start each day with the right frame of mind, with that of humility, here's a simple but powerful technique which will help us. All we have to do is watch for our usage of the words I and me, especially if coupled with negative emotion. For example, I deserve whatever. It's not fair. Why is this happening to me? That person did me wrong, and I am entitled to give them a piece of my mind. Now, if we can catch when we're about to say those things out loud, but instead, we silently say to ourselves, it's not about me, it's about me bringing glory to God, Well, we just did. We just demonstrated humility and reverence to him by not complaining about what he has allowed us to experience. Brethren, the biggest trap we have to avoid is the expectations trap. In other words, we expect someone to behave a certain way, or we expect them to respond a certain way, or expect them to do certain things. And when they don't, we focus on our feelings, our disappointment, our anger. Now consider this example. If the Lord asked us if we'd be willing to bake cookies every week, bring them to Sunday meeting, oh, and by the way, no one will ever thank us, what would we tell them? Well, of course we'd say yes. And by doing that every week, that would bring glory to God. After all, we're helping to take care of the brethren by doing service. We talked about that in Sunday school today. But what if, after doing this for a few years, we get to a point where we have done enough? It's time for someone else to start baking cookies. After all, no one even thanks us. And by golly, we are going to teach them a lesson. Well, if we do this, have we brought honor or dishonor to the Lord? Absolutely dishonor. Why? Because the Lord asked us to do this. The Lord decides when it's time to stop. Now, is it a coincidence that this one specific event can be used to bring honor or dishonor? No. We'll probably find that every single experience we have can be used to bring honor and glory to God, even something as simple as bringing cookies to brethren each Sunday, and especially if no one ever thanks us. So has the Lord asked us to bake cookies and bring them each week to Sunday meeting? Actually, he has. Now, perhaps your cookie baking experience might be different from mine. Perhaps yours is to clean up after brethren, or give brethren rides to the meeting, or to their doctor, or to the store. Or perhaps yours is to help with computer problems, or play piano, or teach Sunday school. But watch out, because when we are obedient in this task, there's another expectation trap we have to watch out for. We can mistakenly expect a certain kind of reward now for doing a good job. Now, here's some good news and some bad news, at least to our flesh. The good news is we will definitely be rewarded on this side of the veil. The bad news, well, we'll just read the scriptures. John 15, 1 and 2. And John 15, 1 and 2. And this is where Jesus says, I am the vine, and every branch in me that bears fruit, the Father prunes, so that it bears even more fruit. And when you bear more fruit, my Father is glorified. You mean our reward for obedience is the painful experience of pruning? Yes. But the more we learn about our Heavenly Father, the more thankful we become for these experiences. After all, how does the Lord develop and crystallize the character of the little flock? The same way he developed his son for the office of high priest, by the things which we suffer. And isn't it interesting how the old phrase, suffer it be so, means permit it to happen. Be submissive, just like the clay. It's not about me. It's about bringing glory to our Heavenly Father. Being submissive means When something happens to us, we accept it as being allowed by the Lord. That means we trust He wants us to go through the experience, and we don't say, Lord, how could you let this happen to me? Just look at Job. Job had no idea the adversary was trying to make him into a spectacle of dishonor by getting him to reject God. But Job found out later what the adversary was doing. Nor did Job know that his experience would be written down and used to inspire hundreds of thousands in the years to come. Job didn't have the benefit of the New Testament, which says in 1 Peter 4:12, and it's been quoted a few times already this convention, 1 Peter 4:12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But we have the benefit of the New Testament. And like the Apostle Peter, who was told by Jesus that the adversary was going to test him, and that Peter's reaction would initially seem to bring dishonor to Jesus, Peter was told that in the end, which is what really counts, in the end, with the Lord's help, that experience would be turned around to bring glory to God by setting an example, a wonderful example, and Peter would also use it to strengthen the other brethren. Therefore, even if we've ever seemed to have brought dishonor to the Lord, as long as we don't quit, then the Lord will help us to turn it around and use our experiences to bring glory and honor to Him. When Peter tells us to be alert because the adversary walks around looking for the next target, we know what to expect. But just because we know what to expect doesn't mean we won't end up focused on ourselves. After all, what does pain do? It causes us to focus on my feelings, my pain. It's all about me. That's human nature, and the Lord doesn't hold it against us. But as soon as we are able, we have to get hold of our feelings as best we can and turn the experience around so that it brings glory to God. Remember the example of Jesus on the cross. Even though the pain was horrific, He still set the example of, it's not about me, it's about bringing glory to God. And what is a great way to do this? By obeying the new commandment of taking care of one another. Service. That's why Jesus made it a point on the cross to tell John to take care of his mother, making sure her needs were met. So many of our experiences can be used to bring honor to the Lord by the simple act of taking care of others. And while taking care of others, it's possible we might get taken advantage of or not appreciated. And how do we learn agape love and mercy and forgiveness and to be sympathetic like our Master? By having experiences, great or small, whereby we do good unto others, even though we may receive nothing in return from them. In fact, they may not even know we had done good unto them, like dropping a dollar bill in a blind person's cup. Matthew 6, 3 and 4 tells us, if we happily do generous deeds in secret, our Father will bless us openly. But will being blessed openly draw attention to ourselves? Kind of like Matthew 5, 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How would letting my light shine bring glory to God? Well, here's how. Imagine we own a flashlight, and we're in a very dark room with lots of people, and it's so dark, no one can see where we're going or where they're going. Then all of a sudden, we turn on our flashlight. But instead of pointing the light at us so that we are illuminated, we point the light down the path which leads to the door. And then everyone is able to safely lead the darkness. By the way, according to the scriptures, who is the door? Jesus. Brethren, it's not about us. And even though there is a very special reward when we are found faithful, of course, by the grace of God, our motivation must be pure in order to obtain that reward. And we know this because of a very serious question Peter asked Jesus in Matthew 19:27. Peter said, "Behold, we've left all and followed thee. What reward shall we have?" And Jesus answers him, Matthew 19:29. "Everyone that has given up houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." Now we know the phrase, read the fine print. There's a very important yet subtle key element here. Jesus doesn't say, if you give up all these things, then you get the reward. There is a condition. We must do them for his name's sake. And when we honor the Son, that brings glory to the Father. However, if our motivation is for what we can get, then we won't get the reward. That's why the very next verse says, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Brethren, it's not about us. It's about what we do to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. He's blessed us with this knowledge and this opportunity not because we deserve it, but because of his grace. Let us live our lives trusting in the wisdom and love of our Heavenly Father, looking for opportunities of service to others in honor, preferring one another, because that will bring glory to God. Romans 11:36. "For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen."
Thank you, Brother Peter, for this lovely lesson. It's not about me. And you know, one of the first things you learn as a child is that it's not right to be selfish. And if you can be selfless in the Christian character, well, that's the goal that Brother Peter's talking about. We're going to close with Brother Peter's choice of hymn 224, the last two verses. Now, we're going to have a prayer by Brother Peter. And we'll ask him to not only close the service, but our convention, and to remember the food that's being prepared and ask the blessing upon it. So we do have a love feast coming, but it's not the stand through a line kind. It's the kind where you actually sit down to a feast and love your brethren. So we're going to have that closing feast. But let's close now with hymn 224, 3 and 4.
Tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought. Less of self and more of thee. Less of self and more of thee. Less of self and more of thee. Rock me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. Higher than the highest heaven, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of thee. None of self and all of thee. None of self and all of thee. Lord, thy love at last has conquered none of self.
Our dear, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the many blessings that we've had over these last 3 days, for the opportunity that you've provided for us. We thank you for the feast we have had thus far. We also pray your blessing upon the one to come. We ask your blessing upon the temporal provisions provided by the class here. We pray also on the conversations that we would have, that the conversations would be pleasing and uplifting. Father, we pray for your spirit, your guidance in all that we do, and not just us, but our brethren throughout the world. We pray that you would watch over and guide those going home afterwards, if it be your will, that they may arrive at their destination safely. Father, we look forward to thy coming kingdom. We pray all of this, and we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. Thank you, Peter. Very nice. Nice presentation. Easy to listen to and very pleasant.